More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here. Live and local. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. It is August the 10th. I hope your weekend was okay. Hope you had a busy one, had a lot of fun. We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program. If you miss any of the hours, you can always catch them at 1051thefan.com. It's where the podcasts are and wherever you get your podcasts as well. We're going to kick it off with Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, but I want to remind you guys that Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only Fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. A very interesting question asked on the Twitters. If we had a week before week zero, College Football Hall of Fame, the way the NFL just did with the Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
So it's a game that doesn't count.
Yes.
Having a rematch of the Natty, if that would interest you. And I'd say yes, but also they will never agree to it because they don't want injuries in a game that doesn't count in college.
Exactly. Who, I mean, you're not going to get, yeah, you're going to get a lot of freshmen playing.
What if we just did freshmen on freshmen? Could you field enough players for freshmen and sophomores and red shirts that's like, these guys can get hurt and we'll be okay, so let's lace them up and then see whose recruiting class looks better? That would be a fun one, too. The incoming recruiting class is just playing tug of war. who recruited the defensive line this class? Let's see. End up winning that. No, I think that'd be a lot of fun. But all right, let's step into the cafe. So no menu special food-wise.
Oh.
Although I should share, the beauty of having a fiesta, one that you didn't plan nor invite people to.
You got leftovers.
You had a little leftovers.
This is what frittatas are fantastic for.
You're not wrong on that. Didn't have much. Again, had way more people stopping by without inviting anybody. But we had enough taco meat, steak, and two taco shells. I had breakfast tacos this morning.
Oh, there you go.
Scrambled a little bit of egg, put a little salsa. A little homemade pico, some steak, some melted cheese, some cilantro and onion. It was perfect. It was great. No menu item special today at Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, but kids eat free. It's August 10th. Kids eat free. I think that's a good deal for everybody.
I think also because the little rugrats probably aren't getting up in time because we stopped serving.
Oh.
At 10.
Yeah, we're done at 10. It is a cafe. Yeah. It's open early, and then it closes early. That's you got to get in and get out, all right? So that's the cafe special day. Kids eat free. Let's get it going.
It's midfield still working hard to find spaces. They're going to have to continue to do that.
Bad giveaway by the goalkeeper. Here's Bell, the corner of the box. Heavy first touch. Gets it back. Cuts it back on his left. And scores! Christopher Velda has evened things up for the Timbers with a beautiful play after a bad mistake by the Club America goalkeeper. It's 1-1 in the 20th minute.
Fletcher Johnson, Timbers Radio Network, heard here on The Fan. And the Timbers fall in the League Cup to Club America yesterday.
Yeah, you thought at that point maybe that was going to wake them up and that they would be up for it. And then Club America put the hammer down the rest of the way.
So I mentioned this in the first hour. Christopher Velda was not happy in the postgame. He basically called out fans for selling their tickets.
Again.
What was funny about that was I literally scrolled on our show timeline on Twitter. And I saw a Timbers fan say, sold my tickets, can't wait to watch the game at home tonight.
So two issues there. One, it's a late Sunday night game.
Yep.
So anybody that had to be at work at any semblance of an hour like ours. Because if you want to go, you want to have a good time when you go. So that makes it a challenge. Two, again, season ticket holders, not part of their package, so everybody had to shell out extra for these games. And three, yes, the resale market for Club America fans was rich.
It was rich, and Timbers fans cashed in. I can't really blame you much. But they fall in the League Cup to Club America. They take on Tijuana on Thursday.
That's their final League's Cup game. They need to score a ton of goals, win, and get some help if they want to get to the knockout round.
All right.
Order up. Boston turns it over. Fleming over to Jordan. Jordan inside the 18. Another goal as she shoots and is able to find the back of the net. It's the 10th minute, and the Thorns are up 3-0 in Boston.
That's Lily Crane on the Thorns Radio 910 ESPN. The Portland Thorns win yesterday 4-3 against the Boston Legacy.
5-2.
ESPN has it 4-3.
Wow. Never mind.
Are you not sure, or am I wrong? I'm just reading ESPN.com. Weren't you here doing the game?
Yeah. Like I said, it was a long weekend.
All right. Thorns are good.
Thorns needed that one. They had struggled on the road.
I'm afraid to ask what the Thorns record is to you because I don't know if
it was their ninth win. They have nine wins now. It jumped them up to
9-4-6 on the season.
It jumped them up to fifth in the standings. They had been sliding. They had been tied for the top of the table about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, no score in the NWSL had a 5-2 result. We had 0-0 and 2-2, and then it says on ESPN, it says Thorns 4-3.
Okay.
You maybe have 5-2 mixed up with a baseball score.
Something.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, Dodgers losing.
Order up! These are plays we've seen from Desjardins, right? So getting in the right position, jumping over the top, getting these transition blocks, she's always going to make that effort. So even for some of these, she's behind the offensive player coming over the top. So again, she was behind Sophie Cunningham. She wasn't able to get over the top. Had she got over the top and made that play, we wouldn't have been talking about it. She was too far behind the play. The contact above the head was too much. But that's what Desjardins Carrington does. Yeah. Like, it's not, this wasn't a, to me, this wasn't because it was Sophie Cunningham making the layup.
There's Andrea Carter on WNBA Countdown on ESPN. Yes, the WNBA in the news again for none of the good reasons. Desjardins Carrington fouling Sophie Cunningham on a breakaway, hits her head. Cunningham has a problem, stands up. They kind of get into a little bit. Teams break each other up. Desjardins gets ejected, and then it
didn't
help.
It was a flagrant two foul.
It was. Didn't help that she ran to the locker room and immediately tweeted white privilege. So that certainly didn't help the narrative-based stuff.
We see that play in an NBA game once a week.
Yeah, but it's not involving Sophia Cunningham. Yeah. And so, like, what does that mean? It means it has to be a big narrative. The whole league hates her. They hate white women. And then, okay, now I just... The league's in a good spot with talent and teams, this always is just going to be it. And then, of course, we get former NBA players that announce that they're trans now because they want to be in the WNBA. And
that's a different issue.
Boy, cutting your ween off to own the libs is another level that I didn't think we'd ever get in the political discourse. But here we are.
Here
we might be there.
Yeah.
I guess. Have at it if you want.
Okay.
Not great. And, of course, nobody going to talk about the Wings and the Lynx game. Kayla McBride set the record for most three-pointers made in a WNBA game with 10. She was awesome. And Paige Bueckers and the Wings damn near did it. Libby Miles, not as great a game. Mainly it was the Kayla McBride show, but great action over the weekend.
Order up!
Winterburn over the shoulder, no-look pass, Carlton right side, three. Oh, yeah! What a play by Winterburn! Over-the-shoulder assist! Time out, Seattle.
AJ Cannell and the Portland Fire beat our I-5 rival. It's rivalry week, or it was in the WNBA.
Yeah,
they beat the
Seattle
Storm.
The Storm this year.
Well, the Storm aren't very good. The Storm are tanky.
Yes.
The Storm are all in on Juju.
They are.
I would assume. Unless there's a player that they like more than Juju Watkins, which God help you if that's true. But AJ Cannell on the call and the Portland Fire get a much-needed win. They were starting to kind of sink a little bit, and they needed that.
Yep. They're it was fun to watch. They're developing some of their younger players.
They are.
Harrison has come on, and now she was a developmental player. They've given her a standard contract now.
Bad news out of this: Carla Late suffered a knee sprain. She left the game, did not.
Yeah,
return.
only played 4 minutes in it. So quick. Hopefully that's nothing serious at this point.
Order up.
2-1 pitch. Tatis swings, fly ball, way back and left, going, gone! run, long home run, Tatis. Well up into the Western Metal Supply Company down the left field line. Three-run shot is 11th of the year, and the Padres take a 4-2 lead.
ESPN Radio, Fernando Tatis, three-run home run against the Astros, and they win on Sunday Night Baseball 7-2.
That was a moonshot.
When he hits them,
yeah,
they go far.
No,
I think he still has the longest home run of the season, measured, because he hit it against my team.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think he's got like a 480-foot home run measured in a regular season game. He's unbelievable when he's not juicing. Padres get their winning
Who do they got when you're going down there?
Brewers.
Oh, you going to get to see Miz pitch?
Ooh, let me see, actually. I don't know. I didn't look at what the matchup was going to be. Give me a second here.
Unless he just gets...
Harrison.
Oh. It'd be great to see Miz.
Who's Kay Harrison?
I have no idea.
He's 9-2 with a 2.8
ERA.
Well,
this is why the Brewers have the best record
in
the National
League. Why do we not know who this guy is?
Because he plays in Milwaukee.
You're right. I don't watch Milwaukee Brewer baseball, but I will on Tuesday.
We know Mizorowski because he throws 105 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
Struck out his 200th batter.
Yeah,
second
he's
fastest
the quickest,
to 200.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I saw.
Order up. Both runners in motion. Slug center field. Mullins sets up shy of the track.
Uh-oh.
The Rays sweep the Mariners.
Uh-oh.
And the USS Mariner is taking on some serious water. It is continuing to sink.
It is.
A 3-6 homestand for the M's. Ooh. They get swept by Tampa Bay.
That one doesn't feel good. Aaron Goldsmith,
no.
Mariners TV. I'll say this about Mariner fan. They may catch some flack every once in a while. They're being honest. Fire the manager. This team's an embarrassment. I see it all the time. Mariners swept by the Rays. They are four games back. The crappiest division that's existed in some time. The first place team is the Astros, one game
Put
over 500.
Because they had their whole 50 greatest Mariners of all time this weekend with the 50th anniversary celebration.
Yeah.
Everybody was back. Rick Riz, it was announced.
I saw Griffey hugging Ichiro. It was great.
Oh, yeah. It was announced Rick Riz in that is going to go into the Mariner Hall of Fame. He announced earlier this is his last year doing radio, 41 years in the booth for them.
They are 56-63, and they're only four back.
Yeah.
God, that division sucks.
And their schedule's not going to get any. I saw the next home. I don't know where
you
they're going on the road.
You can't play a schedule game when you're seven below. You can't.
No.
You're the team that people play the schedule
but
game
you
to.
Could use a little help. They're not going to get any. Their next homestand is the Phillies and Cubs.
Not good. Not good, Bob.
Order up.
It's just all in the greens. I don't know what the deal is. Got zero confidence. Can't putt. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of changes here soon.
How disappointed are you to not advance to the
playoffs? Yeah, pretty disappointed. I think it's pretty pathetic that I can't get through. Zero top tens basically in 2 years, so that's to be in the prime of your career and be as good as I think I am. I think that's very pathetic, disappointing. Just need to go home and completely reevaluate everything.
There's Brandon Sprague after his latest round at his local muni, talking to himself in his car. No, that's Brooks Koepka.
That's Brooks,
he
and I appreciate
playoff.
Him. There's no...
He's never shied away from it.
Never making excuses.
Exactly.
He's not doing that. He's like, I can't make putts, and if you can't make putts on the PGA Tour, you're not going to win, let alone finish high up.
Yeah. Disappointing, but you know what? It's his first year back with it. Let's see how he regroups and comes back next season.
Yeah.
So, Brooks Koepka, not going to be in the
Meanwhile,
FedEx
another
playoff.
First-time winner, I believe. That's three straight weeks. First-time winner on the PGA Tour and another youngster. And then...
Well, didn't Brennan win it?
Yeah.
That's his second win.
Oh, is that his second win?
Yeah, I think
okay.
I saw that it was his second career PGA Tour.
And
win.
That Koivun kid that won a
He's
couple
balling.
Weeks ago in just six starts qualified.
He made it. He got 70th.
He made it. So second fastest or second fewest
That's awesome.
Starts on tour to get into the playoff. Tiger did it in five when
Order
he
up.
Was a rookie.
Each of you talk briefly about what you've been doing after basketball. Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So
yeah, I've been smoking some pot. Yeah.
It's a small one, but I wanted to play it. RIP to Don Nelson.
He was
Nelly.
He was
bummed
amazing.
Me out yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
How and can I, you be an NBA fan? I've been watching for a long time. Like Don Nelson's a staple in my basketball.
I would argue that maybe the Milwaukee Bucks teams he had in the 80s are some of the best teams never to have won an NBA Finals?
So I should have marked who it was, and I really apologize because it's just me forgetting to give the credit here. But I saw somebody, it was one of the NBA people, like, he's not going to be in the running for best coach ever. He obviously is not going to be in the Pat Riley, Jerry West conversation of, like, molding and team building. He absolutely needs to get his flowers in a conversation of all-time smartest basketball people,
yes,
though. Because when you
he's
go look at his resume.
He's in that Popovich mode.
Absolutely.
Of, yeah.
Dude, the We Believe Warriors, go read the latest piece. I think it's either at ESPN or Athletic. He basically told the Warriors, you have to draft Steph Curry. And then, like, he's not a big rookie guy. He basically harped on Curry because he saw what Curry was and could be.
Yeah.
Curry sent out a big heartfelt message. Dirk sent out one because he also made Dirk in Dallas a thing. Like, all over. He got in a fight with Karl Malone during a game once. He fought the NBA over shoes. He's like, I'm not wearing dress shoes. I'm sitting here coaching. I'm running back and forth. So he wore Converses and he taped over the Converse logo.
Yeah.
He coached a game in a neck brace, for God's sakes.
He did. He hated wearing ties. I think he got them where they didn't have to wear ties. They didn't change the jacket rule
Dude,
for him. But
I'm going to dress like him when I'm his age. If I lived in the 80s, go look at him a couple years ago, the Pacers in the finals.
He was always, he'd go, you'd go.
He had a gold chain. He had a t-shirt
he'd
and a jacket.
Pop a natty light there doing the post-game, you know, presser or whatever.
Dude, he's in the Hall of Fame for the Celtics and accomplished a lot as a player.
Yeah, he won, what, 5 or 6 titles
five
there at the
them.
End of the run in the 60s and 70s.
I think he's the second best winning percentage.
I think he's got the second most wins.
Maybe, and it's winning percentage or wins. Like Don Nelson, I always loved Don Nelson. And also what you can't say about Don Nelson, Don Nelson's teams were always fun to watch.
Yeah.
They might not have always succeeded. He had a weird Knicks stint that didn't work in the mid-90s. But dude, Don Nelson made basketball fun and enjoyable.
It was up-tempo. It was move the basketball, a lot of player movement, ball movement.
Yeah, he was revolutionary. He's ahead of his time. Go look at the We Believe Warriors. Like, he just believed in the three and movement, like very
yep.
European-based thoughts that Don Nelson carried with him. And so I was really sad to see that he had passed. 86 is a great life. He was living on an island. He was smoking weed every day. He's living his best. 86, RIP to Don Nelson, an NBA legend.
This set of skill players, and I mean tight end Trey McBride, running back Jeremiah Love, receivers Michael Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr., up against any team skill players in the NFL. I think as a group, they're very good. Just everything around them. The right side of the line still, of the offensive line still is a question mark. And defense, you know, they basically spent 3 years rebuilding a defense that gave up like 30-something points last year.
Yeah, there's John Weinfuss on ESPN on the Arizona Cardinals. And I've made this point before. I think I made it last week or the week when Dirt was here. You know, you may not buy the Cardinals because I certainly don't. Although watching Larry Fitz highlights yesterday was like a reminder of like they've had a few amazing seasons randomly. God, they're playmakers. On paper, they look amazing with Wilson, McBride, Harrison Jr., and if Love can live up to the number 3 pick hype, even though his own coach is not citing him, you know, maybe Carson Beck will end up being the quarterback. He continues to have a pretty good camp. He was torching their defense up the other day. He was throwing no-look passes. You're like, oh my God, is Carson Beck a dude?
So can they not turn it over?
Well,
is their offensive line going to allow everybody to...
Look, let's not go crazy here.
And
the
then can their defense not give up 30 a game?
Well, maybe. Yeah.
And they're in, otherwise,
how many games is Walter Nolan going to play?
The toughest division, and certainly the toughest division in the NFC.
They just might be like the really bad team who's fun to watch because they have
It'll be interesting
so
to
many
see
guys.
What they do to... when they're not playing NFC West opponents.
Tend to agree with that, yeah. Tend to agree
because they
that.
Could go 1-5 in the division and then, you know, go 8-3 elsewhere. And
I just think they're a team that's going to – they're going to get a few teams this year and you go, oh, damn, the Cardinals are balling
yeah,
out
Yeah, they might get somebody not paying attention.
Exactly. Might drop a 30 spot.
They'll look at their record.
On the road on somebody and end up winning the game. All right, final one, and then we'll carry some of this over.
Yeah, that's training camp. You know, those are two leaders of our team going at it. So that is part of camp. Obviously, you fight in the game, you throw a punch in the game, especially then you're out of the game. So we got to be smart, treat it like a game.
That's Clint Kubiak. Did you see the news over the weekend? Max Crosby and Kirk Cousins were punching each other in a camp practice.
Yeah. I mean, Kirker should be in a bubble wrap glass case. Like, if there's one guy.
Should he?
In training camp? Yeah.
Maybe Mendoza. Why should Kirkers?
Because he's fragile.
I know, but like, I think Raider fans want Mendoza to play.
They do.
They were both suspended, by the way, for an entire practice. That had to have been an awful fight.
Yeah.
I didn't see the highlights. Maybe it,
I didn't
was,
see
it leaked on Twitter, but they reportedly punched each other. Crosby also has a reputation of being take practice way too serious guy.
Yes, he doesn't care.
Like, he will hit the quarterback.
If I put on pads,
yes,
don't ask me to dial it back.
And you can say you love that, yeah, until he tears up the knee of your lineman because he dives
exactly
at him, or he sacks your quarterback when he's wearing a red jersey. But Max Crosby, they ended up hugging it out. They came back, they ended up hugging it out.
Yeah.
Apologized to their teammates. But Max Crosby and Kirk Cousins, camp is in full effect when teammates are punching each other. Doesn't happen very often. I got more cafe audio I want to get to. We had NFL Hall of Fame enshrinements
this
weekend.
You had that? Yep.
That was great. I got a couple more notes in the association, or in the NFL, excuse me, that I want to get to. So we'll carry the cafe day dirt and spray. Kids eat free today. And we'll get to it next on The Fan. Happy birthday to Ja Morant. The Blazers' new point guard is 27 today.
There you go.
How about that? I have a Ja Morant question I want to ask people. Talk about it a little bit later on. We got Stuart Mandel's going to hop on at 9:04 today.
Ja Morant is only 18 months, 20 months older than my son.
What do you want from me here? Like, you're teeing me up to just talk about, yeah, you're old.
That hurt. And it wasn't intentional. I was like, I just want to go back to bed now.
Wait, your kid's 27?
He's 25. So he's 20 months older. What is it, July?
Yeah. It's August, yeah. So
20 months, basically 20 months older. 19 months older.
I don't know what you want me to say to this. I make age jokes, you get offended, and then I tell you how old an athlete is, and you're like, that's as old as my son. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that hurt.
No wonder you got the Thorns game wrong. You're old. Age Conversations coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. What price? 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity.
How long's Job been in the league?
He was like, wasn't he a one and done?
Yeah.
So he was 19, 20. That's 8 seasons.
I'm going to go start drinking.
Really? To me, it's seeing the kids of players I watched that have to make, like, to you, they're grandkids. But to me, they're like sons, and now they're, like, popping up. Like, to me, seeing Andrew Jones's kid being picked by the Diamondbacks and being a hop momentarily, that was, like, startling for me. Drew Jones. Andrew Jones's kid. I'm like, what? Like, Navarro Bowman. Remember the linebacker from the Niners?
Yeah.
His kid's one of the best basketball players in the country. Marcus Spears on ESPN NFL Live. His kid is
number one or number two basketball player.
Yeah. So, like, it's seeing those guys' kids that make me feel old. I can't fathom what makes you feel old.
Yeah, it's relating things to the age of my son.
I mean, like, I don't mean this. We joke about your age on the show. People probably think I'm being serious. I joke. Don Nelson passing away because he's 86 is like, that hits me hard. I can't imagine. Like, you saw more of Don Nelson than I did.
Yeah. Like I said, those Bucks teams.
You went to those Celtics games when he played
on. Okay, now stop.
Let's step back into the cafe here, Swag. We got a little more things.
Oh, okay.
We got more audio to get to. Sorry, it doesn't happen very often, but we had to
get but that's okay. Because a lot of times Mondays in the cafe, if you had, you know, specials on the weekends, you got a lot of leftovers.
Exactly.
You got to, yeah.
If you're going camping, it's your last morning. You don't want to take this food back.
No.
We're doing a scramble.
We're doing a frittata. Whatever other breakfast meat we had, it's all going on the grill.
Kids eat free, by the way, if you're just joining us in the cafe. So welcome into the cafe. NFL Hall of Fame audio to get to, but I got one more NFL note I want to make note of.
Without Tunsil, it's different. I mean, he's a premier pass protector, and last year they felt like he was better in run blocking than I think they had anticipated. Again, they did make the championship game without him 2 years ago and with Coleman at that position, and a lot of that was because Jaden Daniels was very, very good. So they've bolstered some other areas around there with Jaden getting Stephon Diggs this week, for example, getting tight end Chigo Conquo in free agency, and just having a healthy Jaden Daniels. Like, his health coming back is a major key too. All that still gives them a chance to compete, and I don't think this has to wreck their season. It certainly doesn't help it, because again, like, this was supposed to be a really solid group for them.
That was John Keim on ESPN Radio. If you missed it over the weekend, Laremy Tunsil, the starting tackle for the Washington Commanders, tore his tricep.
Yep.
Basically going to miss like 80% of the season.
Yeah, having surgery here as soon as possible. They didn't want to rule him out for the season yet. They said they'll wait to the surgery to see if
he's
going to
miss significant time. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah.
They're a weird team. I don't know, like, how much do you lean into the two seasons ago versus what they were last year? And, man, they're an odd team to try to figure out. A lot, you know, some people pick them to win the division because maybe the division in their minds isn't great. The Cowboys will disappoint. The Eagles will let down. But, like, I don't think they've earned that.
No.
But I also, like, Jaden was so awesome when he played.
Yep. And they've added another weapon for him to go with McLaurin. So...
Yeah, I like the Diggs addition. I mean, that's a good two.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to make him. That's not good news. You lose your starting
tackle.
No,
when you and now with what top tackles are commanding,
yeah,
you know, it's a depth issue with salary cap.
Absolutely it is. So not good news out of D.C. over the weekend. Commanders losing Laremy Tunsil.
Order up!
I don't know why it's not playing.
Which one are you trying
to... I've been diagnosed... with vascular dementia that my doctors believe may be related, at least in part, to the concussions I experienced during my career. The changes were gradual. At first, they were easy to dismiss as normal aging. Over time, my family noticed it too, and ultimately led us to seek answers from my doctor. Two things can be true. Football gave me opportunities beyond anything I could imagine. It helped shape the man I became. At the same time, we know more today about brain health than when I played. And I hope sharing my story encourages people to pay attention to their health and seek help when something doesn't feel right.
I thought that was a really good moment. Roger Craig, they had the Hall of Fame speeches this weekend. Roger Craig, the first player to have 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing, goes in as a 49er. He didn't get the votes, but he got in on the player
the veterans
exemption.
There's a separate committee.
Yeah, where they're like, okay, we've made a mistake. This person should be in. Roger Craig was obviously one of them. And at the end of his speech, shared that he's been diagnosed with vascular dementia. He's 66 years young. Not an easy topic. The NFL certainly doesn't want to talk about brain issues, given the, you know, the history of their lawsuit. I find it very important for players like him to say, football gave me everything in my life, and also, this is connected. Yeah. I thought that was
that's how you do it.
Really well done, and I'm glad Roger Craig's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, watching him, he's in the Hall of Fame, and somebody that, you know, when the Cowboys and Niners seemingly in the 80s were going at it every...
He was a problem.
He was a problem.
Yeah.
Order up!
Still not playing.
Let me see.
Thank you for demanding excellence every single day. Your preparation, discipline, and attention to detail shaped far more than my football career. Unfortunately, Bill couldn't make it here today. There's a lot going on at UNC right now. He may be on a recruiting trip right now looking for the next Lawrence Taylor. I thought it was because training camp had already started. But in truth, it's because he's judging his girlfriend's cheerleading competition. All jokes aside, in my opinion, Bill is the greatest coach of all time.
That was Adam Vinatieri. He got an Hall of Fame. He's got two Hall of Fame careers. He had one with the Pats winning the Super Bowls, and then he was amazing for the Indianapolis Colts after the Patriots moved on. It was one of those where, like, both teams won. I'm blanking on the name of the kicker that was right after him. But that guy ended up having a pretty awesome career as well for the New England, and he went on to the Colts.
Didn't he have another big, long name, too?
Yeah. I want to say it was, like, not Gronk, but something like that. Look that up, the kicker after Vinatieri. Because I remember thinking, oh, you can never...
Steven Gostkowski.
Gostkowski, thank you. He was good.
Yeah.
He was good for them. So Vinatieri goes in, thanking Belichick while also giving him a rib about being at a cheerleading comp.
Yeah, Belichick has earned that.
I mean, obviously they have a good relationship, I think, to the point where he would do that publicly.
I would think so.
I think he had way more characters in that organization than we ever knew in the moment.
Yeah.
Because Belichick didn't want that to get
the whole media, that was just a whole, that was a philosophy. Yep. That was, we're not going to give anything away to anybody. It's all internal. It's all about what we do. It's all team first. And this is how we're presenting ourselves to the public.
Order up.
I want to thank the Hall of Fame voters for this tremendous honor. It's a privilege to be here and share this stage with four men I truly respect. Between us, we've got catches, passes, tackles, kicks, and rushes all covered. To my brothers, Drew, Luke, Adam, and Roger, congratulations. All my life, I've been lucky enough to be surrounded by people and great institutions that have surrounded me and nurtured me and inspired me to pursue excellence. Martin Luther King Park in Minneapolis, Minnesota is where it all started for me. Had my first touchdown, my first home run, first dunk, first fight. I even had my first kiss. And I almost drowned in the pool there one time.
There's Larry Fitzgerald Hall of Fame. Sad his dad just passed away. Couldn't see him be enshrined, but knew his son was going to be a Hall of Famer. One of the all-time underrated NFL players ever. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show a couple of years ago. I think we've concluded that legitimately you could say second. You could put him in the conversation for second greatest receiver ever. You may not.
Yeah.
But I think we looked it up, and he had three drops.
Oh, yeah.
I also introduced his nice ass to my wife last night. She was walking through my bedroom, and I was watching the speech. And I said, hey, you got to stop. She was going to go shower. And I'm like, you got to watch this.
Yeah.
She goes, what? This guy's ass. A plus. Maybe the best in sports history. She goes, what? I go, you got to watch. And every highlight, they weren't showing his butt and eventually showed a camera angle and it was jiggling. And I went, look at that thing. And she went, wow. She couldn't believe it. Larry Fitz, one of my all-time favorite players.
I would think the if you want to put up a poster or video of how to be a professional athlete in any sport at any time, you could do much worse. To
very Jerry Rice-like career.
That, both on and off the field.
Exactly. Quiet, didn't hear a lot from them, went out there, handled their business, and was utterly awesome. And I would say, we forget how close they were. Like, I know we know about the Santonio Holmes catch, but it in the moment when he caught that breakaway touchdown.
Yeah, when he got the second one, it was, what, under 3 minutes?
It was under two.
Under two?
It was like a minute 40 or a minute 50, I think. And you're like, oh, my God, the Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner, who he thanked, by the way, in his Hall of Fame speech.
Order up!
New Orleans has been through a lot. To the point where in some cases the feeling was, we may have lost everything. It may never come back the same. Storms teach us that our greatest treasures aren't the things that we own. They're the people we love and the way we show up for one another. It reminds us to hold our loved ones a little closer, to love a little harder, to laugh a little louder, and to never take a single day for granted. Sometimes it takes losing what can be replaced to truly appreciate the things that can. New Orleans, you accepted me, you embraced me, you believed in me, but more importantly, you trusted me with the soul of the city, and I would have died to protect that calling.
There's Drew Brees getting emotional over the city of New Orleans. His career ends in the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, delivered the Super Bowl to them in 2009, and got emotional there in thanking a lot of people throughout the Hall of Fame speech, particularly New Orleans. I don't have time to get to Luke Kuechly, unfortunately, and I don't mean that as like a Luke Kuechly wasn't important enough. Absolute stud linebacker, and he had a great – he thanked, you know, his fellow classmates. He got to know Roger Craig's family. Shouted out Vinatieri and Fitzgerald, but also said Drew Brees was the quarterback that he hated going against the most. I think part of that is taking him on twice a year versus other quarterbacks you don't see as much. But gave Drew Brees a lot of love as well. So a great Hall of Fame class. Underrated one. Really a class of underrated NFL players.
Underrated guys that were total pros.
Luke Kuechly, stud. Adam Vinatieri, the clutches kicker. Larry Fitz, one of the greatest receivers. Drew Brees, one of the more underrated, you know, overcoming
five straight,
your
5,000-yard seasons? That's insane.
Amazing. And then Roger Craig finally getting in with the 1,000-1,000 season, being the first one to ever do it. A great weekend for the NFL Hall of Fame enshrinements. We have a lot more to get into in the second hour of the radio program. We're back on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Thanks for hanging with us on this Monday morning. It's 7:47. Dirt and Sprague back with more. We have Dirt back on Wednesday. And NFL camps are rolling on. Teddy Bridgewater retired again. We got that in the camp notes out of the National Football League. As we went through some of those notes in the Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, we will jump into Oregon and Oregon State football audio coming up in the third hour of the radio program as the coordinators down in Eugene introduce themselves for the first time. And we got Media Day in Corvallis after like the third or fourth practice of camp. Very odd way of doing it.
I think they just, said, okay, everybody needs to be available. We'll call it Media Day.
And they did. They called it Media Day. So we'll hear from Jamarcus Shepherd and company as well. So we'll really hone in on the local college football audio bits coming up in the third. And then Stuart Mandel of The Athletic is going to join us. He had a mailbag recently where he was asked who's under more pressure, Steve Sarkisian or Daniel Lanning. And so he answered that, and we'll talk college football with Stuart Mandel. There's also something in the college football world that's picking up a little bit of steam.
Oh?
And, you know, it's a conversation we've had many a time.
Oh, no.
But now it's been tweaked slightly, and so we'll get to you don't even know what it is. Look at you. You're over there sighing out loud. You don't even know what it is yet. Yeah. So we'll get to that coming up as well. Before we get to the third hour of college football delight.
And programs.
I want to ask you a question. So, good friend of the program, a good friend of this program and many Blazer fans is Mike G. Rich, Mike Richmond, the homie. And he asked me to be on the Locked On Blazer podcast, as he does usually every August. And I said, you know what? Yeah, because we have like this unofficial agreed upon thing. He's largely available for most of the season. We don't go to him, you know, that much.
We try not to take advantage of the relationship.
Exactly. And in August, he has certain pockets that he's like, I'd love to extend the conversation with you. And so it's like, you scratch my back, I scratch yours too.
That's how this industry works.
And so I did the Locked On Blazer podcast yesterday with Mike Richmond. And apologies for stealing something, but he got my brain turning. And I wanted to throw it at you knowing it was going to be you and me today.
Okay.
So today is Ja Morant's 27th birthday.
Yes.
As we talked about in the previous
segment. Making me feel ancient.
Making you feel old, and then also reminding ourselves, hey man, he's still a little ways from 30. Maybe he'll get this physically back and be okay. Mike asked me over-under questions, and I won't ruin any other ones because it was a lot of fun to go through it. He put an over-under at 22.5 minutes per game. Dame and Ja will average playing together.
Ooh.
And I had to really think about that. He didn't give me the over-unders before we started recording. He just kind of like threw them at me, so I was reacting in real time. And a couple of them I was really happy with my answer. Another one I like almost wanted to correct myself in the moment, but I didn't. But that one got my gears moving of like, for whatever you think this offseason was, and I think most people largely are in the, you know, you made a move, but it wasn't a move we thought you'd make. And like, what is this team? All that. 22.5 minutes per game. And he did, I'll citing him credit for this, he looked up Dame and CJ for those thinking this is a similar rendition. Dame and CJ averaged 29.5 minutes per game when they played in their last two seasons, I think he said.
Yeah, so I think that to answer that question forces you to project.
Who starts?
Because Dame and CJ started, so they played the first 10 minutes together almost no matter what.
Dame Lillard might shock the world and say, I want to win the sixth man of the year and help my team. I can't imagine a world where Dame Lillard's back as a Blazer and he's not starting.
I can't initially either.
Initially?
Now.
I like where you're going.
if
you're doing what I did,
he's at some point says, you know what, my legs are, you know, the Achilles, it's different for whatever reason. I'm 36, 37, however old he is now. Let's maximize my minutes, and I want to be fresh for the fourth quarter and closing time. So let's not have me play so much in the first half, enough to get out there and get a feel and get a rhythm and then do that.
Well, how in the NBA?
But again, this is all trying to get in the mind of a first year NBA head coach that we haven't heard much from and have seen nothing.
Well, we've heard actually a lot.
Well, yeah.
He's actually given us a lot considering, you know, he's just been hired.
But yeah, so he's. But he's one of those, you know, evil geniuses when it comes to, so he could envision something totally different with this roster that's unbalanced.
He's talked about Ja coming off of the bench before. Yeah. He's done that out loud.
So I think that's the first thing you have to try to figure out. If they start and then it's over, the number is over.
You're hitting the over.
I am hitting the over if they're going to be in the starting unit, and that is the starting unit for the bulk of the season.
The other part you have to think about is how do they stagger, right? Because, like, I can't fathom most of their heavy minutes are together. You're going to have to stagger because defensively you're going to be too awful, I think, to succeed. Now, the other part of the consideration here, clutch time by the NBA definition is a game.
6-point game
within five points in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So it's a pretty, you know, it's a
two possession game anytime under 5 minutes left.
In the final 5 minutes, what is the closing lineup? Is the other thing we were discussing. And I'm like, I don't think we're going to have a consistent closing. I think Denny's consistently in it.
Yeah.
I think Donovan's consistently in it. And I think Tumani is consistently in it. If you want to throw Drew in there, you can.
Is who's got a hot hand.
And that's what I think.
Who might be in foul trouble.
Yeah. He's not as convinced. He's convinced it's Dame and Ja for sure. They can't not be in your closing lineup.
I see Micah being more, I think, in those situations, you're going to have, it's going to be a revolving door.
I
think he's very much offensive, defensive substitution.
What's working for me right now, I'm going with that.
So do I want... Do I need Scoot out there defensively for size and length?
Do you?
Well, that's the question.
We know he's not going to put Jaden out there for defensive reasons.
No.
So I said the under. I think it's going to be at around 21 and some change.
It's also taking into consideration, is there going to be load management at any time for any of these guys? Do they get hurt again?
That's the other part, is how many guys are coming off injury or injury prone the last few. Like, they signed Rob Will to a contract that states you got to play 51 games.
Yeah.
35, 59.
Well, the other question
is, a great sample size.
If Rob Williams revisits previous Rob Williams seasons where he can't consistently be on the floor, and the Younger still looks like the Younger that we saw last season and you can't play him.
It's Carlson.
How much does he go small, in which case I could see a three-guard lineup out there and both of them on the floor?
There's a good conversation, and I just kind of tease and set it up because it's fun to talk with Mike, but like he also kind of threw that out of like he thinks Drew's going to be at three all year. He doesn't think it's going to be tweaking with Drew at three. He thinks Drew is defending the three the whole season. He got my gears moving a little bit. It's John Morant's birthday. I don't think they're going to play Dame CJ minutes, and I took the under of 22.5.
I don't know that they'll be up towards 30, but I could see 25.
So you're taking the over?
I would take the over. 22.5 is pretty low.
It is, but
it's less than
the
half the
man,
game.
Well, yeah, but like, how many minutes can you honestly succeed with them on the floor together?
I think he's going to try to see and push the envelope of how many, and if offensively it stretches defenses out, knowing they have to pay attention to both of them.
Very fair.
And
very
all of a sudden, it opens up for Tumani Kamara for backdoor cuts, for Shaedon Sharpe on backdoor baseline lobs, for favorable matchups for Klingon one-on-one against centers not named Jokic and whoever, Zubac. So, yeah, I think offensively he'll try to push the limit and see if the offensive production is enough to overcome whatever defensive deficiencies having both of them out there present.
Look, it's football season. I'm well aware of that. Camp is actually not that far away.
This might be the first time I've been interested in Blazers preseason in a long time.
Really? I like that.
Because I want to see how he, what his concept is with this strange roster.
And I said that. I'm super excited to see what Mike Anori does in terms of tweaking and what the rotations are. But good stuff. If you want to check out that conversation, not during this radio program, you're more than welcome to at the Locked On Blazer podcast. Loaded third hour. Let's kick it off. Get to know the coaches down in Eugene and hear from the coaches down at Oregon State as well. Hour three, a lot of college football, and we'll get to it next on The Fan.